Hey yo, here we go. Another episode of the Sharpshooter Wrestling Podcast is on the air and in your ear. I'm Morton and I got with me Da Senator. And I am extremely excited to talk to you because we don't have Josh messing it up for us here this time.
No, Josh, this feels a little weird, but when we did 7K and it was just me and Nick for the first time, it came out really well, and I have a feeling it's going to happen again. So.
Yeah, I am really looking forward to this. A lot of this is coming from Josh had put in our group chat how he wasn't really too excited for the way WrestleMania build is going, and I kind of echoed those sentiments. And you said you were, really enjoying the product and really enjoying where they're going. And I thought this would be a good chance for you to, I don't know, convince me what I'm missing here.
Okay, so the best way I can put it is WrestleMania, let's say for the past 5 years, probably, you can predict a card from like Survivor Series. It was so predictable. Everybody had either CM Punk or Cena winning the Rumble. Jey Uso came out with the surprise win, which no one thought that was going to happen, especially with the Saturday night main event happening, and they thought Ed Gunther already faced him and that type of stuff. I feel that there's so many twists and turns that are happening right now that it's not as predictable, and I like the fact that it's not as predictable. I like just the changes that are happening, and kind of like Triple H saying, like, you think you know what the card is, but you have no idea what the card is. There's been stuff that came out that said Drew. They're reanalyzing who Drew's gonna face at Mania at this point right now. I think AJ Styles, Braun Breaker will probably end up going to WrestleMania. Like, there's just so many small things that I just see. Like, I liked the Jay win at Rumble, one, because it was a surprise, and two, he is the most over in the company. Now, was that like the typical main event that everyone expects? No, it might even be rest Saturday, like the opening match. It might end up being there. It might not be a closing match, but I do like it if just for the fact that the crowd is right behind him. You open that sh show up hot with him and Gunther, you know Gunther's putting on a good match regardless of who he faces. Like, Gunther is the ring general for a reason. Like, that's not just a nickname. That is what he is in there. The reaction to Rikishi crying, seeing Jay win, right? Like, I think you weren't gonna get a backstage, emotional backstage segment like you did when you saw Jimmy and Jacob Fatu waiting for Jay to walk through those curtains to give him the shirt. You know, like, small things like this plays into it. Now, will I admit that I think SmackDown moving to 3 hours was a bad mistake? 100%. I think SmackDown should have stayed 2 hours. And I think Raw's sweet spot is where they're at right now, the 2.5 hour mark. Like, it's kind of like they're hard outing at 2:30. And I appreciate it because the 3 hours really drag. I can honestly admit that. And especially with them not really doing commercial breaks and just having like those speaking segments as the commercial breaks, yeah, 2.5 hours still sometimes feels like three. But the build wise, because it's not so predictable, you kind of have to stay locked in to see like where they're going, right? Like, I could see a triple threat with EO. Like, I could see like Liv screwing EO on Monday and it turns into like something, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that can happen at this point right now.
There is a lot that they have going on. There's no question. I feel like maybe the problem is the fact that I feel like the card is locked in and I know what it is. And maybe that's where it's on me, is that I'm sitting there going, oh, well, it's going to be Cena and Cody and I can't be interested. Or, Gunther and Jay. It's not to say that Jay doesn't deserve it because he certainly does. He's over and he's worked hard and he's really very charismatic. I mean, he really is. And it's more than just the entrance, but it feels like it does feel like a Saturday night's main event. and
Not
not
dialed
a
back.
WrestleMania main event to me. And I can't help with that, because partially because I saw it, partially because it was not Gunther's best match. That match was pretty average. If it had been a banger, I'd be like, yeah, let's go, let's roll it back. It was all right, you know. But it doesn't leave me just salivating to see that match again. And it is a storyline, you know. I mean, Jay's redemption against Gunther and everything like that. And it could happen, and it probably will happen. I feel like the right move, again, probably is Gunther to hold on to it, because I feel like he has more big matches in his back pocket than Jay does. Matches against Roman Reigns, against CM Punk, and even a rematch with Cody if they do it right. Like, he has more of these in his back pocket. But again, I guess maybe this is, again, me assuming that Jay's going to win, and this is going to take away, that takes away my excitement, because I don't feel like he should. I don't know. I'm probably more me than their product that is not clicking for.
I think you brought up really great points, and I think that Jay should not win at WrestleMania. Like, I think his moment was, to me, one of the things that they need to do is they need to get Jimmy a mid-card title, because right now you have Jay like completely surpassing Jimmy. And yes, Jay is a little bit more charismatic, but Jimmy can cut a really good promo, and he's been cutting some really good promos lately. I just think that you already gave Jay an extra title win outside of the Usos, because he had that title win with Cody, and then he did win the Intercontinental title, even though it was a short reign. I think they need to get like Jimmy close to there, so that when they're doing the Hall of Fame stuff, it doesn't sound like one is just completely outdoing the other one since they broke free, right? I think Gunther has a lot more matches where he needs to be champion for. I don't think Jay is better for the chase, not for the actual win for the heavyweight title at this point. I think he can win it later on, but not at Mania, which is why I kind of was like they could open up WrestleMania, because that would be like when Seth faced Brock, right? Except that Seth won, but it was just Seth facing Brock where. And then I would still keep Gunther with the title. But I'm
Do
looking
you?
at
Oh,
other, yeah, sorry.
yeah,
But
go
I'm also
ahead.
looking
No, go
at other
ahead.
things, because they were like, at one point, they wanted to put CM Punk in that match with Cody, or they wanted to do the triple threat with Seth Rollins and Seth, CM Punk, and Reigns. Like, there's so many, even though there's certain people that we know are kind of locked into where they're going to go, but they don't know if they still want to make it a triple threat, or like where is Punk going to end up? You know, like it's just there's some stuff up in the air of what I heard them talking about.
And one of the crazy things is that even with two nights, you have so many titles now and so many wrestlers, that it still doesn't feel like they're going to be able to get everybody on the show
Exactly.
that deserves a spot. So, I mean, that is interesting to see the direction they'll go in based on that. But I'm glad to hear you say that you agree that Gunther shouldn't lose the belt, because he's, got more matches. I'd say, what do you think it is percentage-wise that the chase is bigger than the title win, or the title reign, I guess would be better. The title win can be big, but percentage-wise, what do you think of the chase is bigger than the title reign?
I think, honestly, I think it's 80-20, that the chase is 80%. Because the problem that they always have too is once they give. So the best example that they can use is the Cody example, where Cody lost, but still maintained that fandom, and they wanted it even more at that point right there. I think Jay is at that point where he is, like I said, he's probably the most over. He is the most over right now in the company. You don't want to lose that. And I think him losing doesn't really hurt him, because it's Gunther, and we all know what Gunther is, and as much as he might not get like the crowd booing as much as like when he comes out, but they love when he's in, when he's wrestling, everybody is locked into his matches. Like you can see the arena, doesn't matter who he's facing. And he's gotten a lot better on promos too. Probably one of the best promo guys in WWE at this point right now. And his ring work speaks for itself. So I think that they sh it's a 80-20 where he might not be able to keep up with what will happen if he wins the title.
Yeah, I thought Gunther on Monday was tremendous, coming through the crowd and
Oh yeah.
mocking Jay and everything. Like he carries himself as a champion. And I mean, I know that Raw's coming in about 2.5 hours and SmackDown is 3, and Cody is your champion on SmackDown, but Raw's still the flagship show, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, 100%.
So the guy who's the champion on the flagship show feels like the number one guy to me. And I know it's presented like Cody's the number one guy, but to me, the number one guy is Gunther. And I guess, again, my fear of Jay at the number one guy, I don't know how sustainable that would be. But I mean, there's so much, there is a lot of other matches that are possible. A lot of things, like I don't know where they're going. Like, for instance, just the fact that they're doing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at Elimination Chamber, which kind of makes sense when you think about it. It's in Canada, so you kind of get that. But that seemed like something that was being set up for WrestleMania, and then they pulled it back. And I wasn't too big a fan of the angles that have gone on to build the promo or build the program, because I just feel like, when you've had it happen so many times, you need to really set this up long-term build, a slow burn. And I feel like it's been, just kind of pushed on me a little bit quick. So again, it's another one that's not quick clicking for me as well as it should. But I don't know, is that WrestleMania? What are they going to do for that for WrestleMania? I mean,
And
what do you
you
think?
can't have those two not on WrestleMania card. To be honest, Kevin Owens has probably done his best work since his debut in NXT. Actually, no, his debut on Raw against Cena. Like
Yeah, that was great.
I feel like he's doing the best one now with the KO is right. And he's usually speaking a lot of good facts when he's saying stuff. Like it's not kicking Michael Cole out the car. Joe Tessitore saying he's a biased journalist because he didn't interview him too. Like he's doing all the stuff that he needs to do as a good heel, and he's still getting such a crowd reaction too. So like you have to have him on. I actually thought Adam Pearce probably had his best promo this week on Raw when he was talking to. When he was talking to Sammy. And I like that back and forth there because of their history. But I don't know. They have so much talent right now. So
Yeah,
much
they
talent.
do.
It's insane when you kind of think about it.
Yeah, it's we're not going to see, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller face off at WrestleMania, but but so it was okay. You can build some stuff for television, is my point. Some stuff could be a television match, but yeah, I mean, I just look at, it's like, where are they going with the Miz and Carmelo, Where are they going with, like, just little things like that? Like, there is a lot of intriguing stuff going on. And I guess it's not a foregone conclusion that it's Cena and Cody. It was definitely a surprise Fatu didn't make the chamber. I think we're gonna see Fatu and Solo Sikoa at Mania. I think that one's probably locked in,
I think that
I
one's locked in.
think. It's kind of one of those matches that it's like, I think the crowd will be huge behind Fatu, and I mean, and it's that he has a potential to be such a huge star. Like his launch point. This at Russell could come at WrestleMania to next year's WrestleMania, where he's in one of the main events. He legitimately has made it, you know, from this year's WrestleMania. So, I mean, there is a lot of exciting stuff, but I don't know. I mean, the women's title matches, they're not grabbing me. Tag team title matches look like clusters of multiple men, you know.
Yeah. I will say, I'll
Know.
say this. I think first thing that they messed up with was thinking that Charlotte was going to be able to come back as a face. Like
Yeah.
they should have just automatically done. Like
Yeah.
you, we all know you're trying to push her too quickly, and I think people thought with Triple H in charge that maybe that would be different. But even when she came back, she took how long to get to the ring? She was the only one to get pyro. Like it was kind of like, okay, yes, we know you're winning. Like there was no question about it. The smartest thing that they did was allow Alexa Bliss to come in at 21. So she got that huge pop coming back.
Yes, she did. Nikki was jealous.
Oh, she got the pop of the night. At one point I was like, maybe they should have switched it. And had Nikki come out at 21 and Alexa come out at 30. Because that would have, but that roof would have blown off regardless of what number she came out at. She was perfect for that. And I think that camera guy needs to get fired. The one that cut away when she turned around to show the tribute to Bray. Like you can't cut away from that. Like, that was like
That's
Edge's first
bad.
spear in the Rumble when he returned, and they cut away. It was like, what are we doing here? Like, small things. But no, they have. I think right now, they are in such a good place when it comes to. And one thing I will give Triple H a lot of credit for is he makes the SmackDown and the Raws after the pay-per-views feel like pay-per-views too. So they're not on the WrestleMania card, but usually, like, there's a huge card that goes before and after. So maybe that's where you see, like, some of the tag team stuff like that. But somebody like Chelsea Green should be on WrestleMania. The only problem is they keep trying to push her against Meechan, and Meechan's not getting that crowd reaction.
No, she's not. It's again, I think I'm also, and this is in both companies, it hurts me a little bit when they have so many titles, because I don't know, it feels forced how important that title is. And there's so many titles in both companies that I don't know what is supposed to be the top title, what is supposed to be the secondary title, what is the third, like, and how much am I supposed to be into, you know, Knack versus LA Knight for that title? Like, you know what I mean? It's and that's a problem. That's a problem, don't get me wrong, also in AEW, just too many titles. I like it when there's two, three titles tops, you know, in total, because then they really mean something, and then they can all theoretically main event a pay-per-view. And right now, all these titles they've added, now they've added, you know, these couple more for the women, and it's just that's not working for me.
And here's where I'll say I think WWE has a little bit more of an issue when it comes to it than that AEW is that WWE has to serve the two networks. So if they give one mid-card title and it only really gets defended on SmackDown, then Netflix is going to be upset. Or if you have to defend it on Netflix a lot more, then USA is going to be upset, right? So you're trying to like equalize both things, but it makes it so much harder to figure out which titles and even figure out who should go for these runs. Because you're like for the women mid-tier, you see that they're trying to build up the one like the stars that aren't really up there with the Rhea Ripley or Charlotte or whoever, and they're trying to give them some importance. I think AEW has a whole lot of titles and doesn't necessarily, and it's not, it's all on the same network. So it's kind of like
Yeah.
you don't need all these titles, right?
And so many male titles, I mean, and no women's tag titles, that type of thing. So
Yeah.
it's not balanced very well in that way. I'll give you this. At least WWE tries to keep a balance in between the two divisions. I am probably going to, I mean, it's not like I'm not going to watch WrestleMania. There's nothing they can do to make me not watch WrestleMania. But I don't think if I look historically at the Elimination Chamber, I don't think historically it usually serves as, to use the term again, launch pad to WrestleMania. Usually the launch pad and knowing what is going to happen at WrestleMania comes from Royal Rumble. And I don't feel like that's a bad thing to know what I'm going to get, I guess. This year, again, thinking I know what I'm going to get and not being excited to those particular matches is probably on me and my assumptions, but I don't feel like, I don't know, is Elimination Chamber going to be able to get me excited?
No, it's a they have to pull out some stops in there to try ex making it more exciting. I think one of the tough part that I see more for WWE than AEW is the dirt sheets are ridiculous for WWE. So like if you're it doesn't matter if you're just scrolling through Instagram or whatever, you're gonna find a spoiler of this is what they're thinking for WrestleMania, and it's kind of like, all right, cool. And that's kind of like locked in from like Survivor Series. You hear this is the plan that they want to do, unless The Rock decides he wants to come back or something like that, right? Like it's AEW doesn't
Yeah.
really have that. Like they obviously they have their dirt sheet, but it's not as daily as the WWE is. So it kind of it makes it harder at that point right there, because you're like, okay, this match is already locked in because they've been talking about it from November, this October, which is why I was happy that Jay won, because that was now it makes it seem like everything that people were theorizing that Cena was going to win or Punk was going to win, it kind of threw that out the window. So now people are like, do these people actually know what they're talking about? Okay, I need to watch to figure out if what the dirt sheets are saying are actually true.
I do think they did a good job at the Rumble. One of the things that I was critical about going into it was thinking there wouldn't be any surprises, but there wouldn't be any returns or anything because, call-ups from NXT, anything like that, because they had done so few the last 3 years. And then this year there was actually some and not too many. So they actually meant something because you didn't do too many, I mean, we talk about maybe they did do too many with the women, but I
They
think as
only
a
did
general
two, well,
rule,
they did two returns and four call-ups.
four call-ups and then no, actually, yeah,
Well, no,
you're right.
three returns. Alexa
Three
Bliss,
returns, yeah.
Nikki, and Trish. And
Yeah.
then they did the four women. So Lash Legend, Roxanne Perez, Stephanie Vaquer, and Julia from NXT.
Yeah, and obviously Roxanne's main event now, in the main roster now. So I mean that makes total sense.
Oh, and Jordynne Grace.
And
Jordynne
Jordynne
Grace won.
Grace, yeah. And again, that's kind of, I mean, and they did have Joe Hendry show up, and I was very skeptical that was going to happen, and it was a good thing it did, I liked NXT this week. I was really surprised to see Moose show up. Like we saw the
Oh,
beatdown
yeah.
at the PLE, at the takeover on Obifemi. And I was very surprised that it was Moose because, I mean, the thing that's kept him out for years has been his past troubles when he was a football player. He had the domestic issues and, running around naked in his front yard and everything. And that's really what kept him out of a major company all this time. So for it to happen now and against the right opponent and the right presentation doing it, that made me very excited. To me, that was the highlight of the show. was when Moose came out, and the crowd was deeply into him too.
Oh, Moose has been a guy that you know Triple H would have wanted to sign a long time ago. And I think if Velveteen Dream didn't happen and Vince was gone, he would have been in WWE a long time ago. Because you can just tell, like, Moose was always that type of guy that would be a Triple H guy. And it was great to see him. I was not expecting him to come out. And for that to be like the opening segment of NXT this past week, I was like, oh, you're starting on a real high note. And I think they have Roadblock. Him versus Oba at Roadblock would be perfect. And I'm like, yes, this is a match that people would pay to see. Like, this is what people would pay to see.
It's a great meat match, Oba and Moose, or Obi and Oba. I
And
always want to say Obi. Don't get me
it,
wrong on
yeah,
the
it's just
Obi Ben Kenobi thing, but.
it's I think what really makes it strong too is it shows the crossover. So like having Santino pop up at Stand and not Stand and Deliver, Vengeance Day. Like that was with Ariana Grace. Like that was the first time that you saw father and daughter in
Yeah.
NXT, and just you could tell like that partnership that TNA has with WWE now that it's official, it is working in it's working in both favors because next week it's the Hardy Boys versus the QCC. Like I wasn't expecting that you'd go see the next time you see a Hardy Boys match in WWE would be in NXT. Like that was something I would not expect. But people are gonna tune in for it. Like it is, they're using TNA the way how they should use TNA at this point right now, not just randomly just bringing everybody over or trying to do like an invasion angle or anything like that. Just we want to, when QCC was like, yeah, we want to face the best tag team, or we're not looking at Fraxium. They're like, we're calling out the Hardy Boys. It was like, whoa, okay. I didn't know where they were going with that. I was not expecting the
Yeah.
Hardy Boys. That was a nice little surprise there. It's, and I will say this, their women division is so stacked.
Oh, NXT's is ridiculous.
Is so stacked.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Like, just looking at the three women that main evented, and you have Julia, Stephanie Vaquer, and Jordynne Grace. You are like, just these three women alone makes a division. But then you add in a Jada Parker. You add in, you like, there's a Roxanne while she's still there because it's not official she's called up, but there. Cora Jade is getting better each time. That four-way match for the title at Vengeance Day with Bayley, Cora Jade, Julia, and Roxanne, great match. The match with Fallon Henley and Stephanie might be the best female wrestler in the world. I have her in my top five. I have her up there. I have Io up there
She's
with,
damn good.
she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Io as my number one. And that's because she's getting over in this like North American market without having to really cut promos. It is just damn good wrestling and she gets crowd reactions. Like
I'm really looking forward to her and Rhea. I mean, I think that could be just a hell of a match. So I'm really looking forward to
I
seeing
have.
that. And
No, go ahead, finish.
no, I was just gonna say, and I think there's a possibility that Io wins, or just sets up a three-way in some
For
way
Mania?
at WrestleMania, you know.
Yeah, you can't have Mania and not have Io on the card. Io's been too big of a factor this whole year. It would feel like such a letdown. But I will say this, Rhea is probably the best seller in WWE. When she sells moves, like especially with like a tornado DDT or any type of like top DDT, like it looks like she lands on her head every time, and it's just her just selling really well. Like I watch and I'm like, not only is she a good like wrestler with the offensive move, she's really good with selling. And that's like
I'm
a
gonna pay
lost
more
art.
attention to that now
Yeah,
that you
just
pointed that out. Yeah.
especially watch anytime someone gives her a tornado DDT. That is the way how she sells it is ridiculous.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna ask you. So between the Rumble, did you watch Vengeance Day?
I watched the highlights. I didn't watch the full thing
Okay.
yet. It was on at a weird time of the day,
It was.
and
It was.
so I didn't get a chance to really watch it. There was a lot going on, but yeah.
Did you watch AEW Grand Slam?
I did watch that, yeah.
So between the Rumble and Grand Slam, which one did you think was the better mat, better card?
That's an interesting question. I think Grand Slam probably slightly for me. Grand Slam was the best thing AEW, I feel like, has put on in a while. So their Dynamites have been all right, pretty good, you know. But Grand Slam, I mean, even this pay-per-view, if I look at the build for months and months and months and the matches they've built, and I'm thinking the pay-per-view doesn't have as much build behind it as Grand Slam had. It had a lot of build, matches have been set up for a long time, and it delivered. So I think I would go with it, but how do you feel on that?
I gave it to Grand Slam. I liked the Rumble. I didn't think it was like the best Rumble. I think leading up to it, the one problem that I really had with it was it kind of felt Cody felt like he was doing the same stuff that the Death Riders are doing in AEW. Where it's like beat down, so one person runs out and then the other person leaves. And it's been like that weekly for like AEW, where it's like Death Riders will have, they'll outnumber the people running down. And then all of a sudden they're like leaving once one person shows up. It's like, okay, cool, like thing. But match
Happened
wise,
again tonight.
again tonight, it's the same.
Yeah.
Speaking of tonight, real quick, sorry. There was the
Okay.
most clunkiest moment of 2025 tonight.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
The Thunder Rosa running out with the
Yes.
chair. That was the most clunky. I was on the phone with somebody and I was like, and they were like in the middle of another conversation real quick. And I was like, yo, what is happening? And they were like, my conversation's not that bad. I'm like, trust me, I'm not talking about you right now. I'm talking about what I'm watching. I had no idea what was happening.
I thought she was going to turn on Statlander the way they were doing it. But
Yes.
I think the problem, like it was so awkward. I think the problem was that Penelope Ford wasn't supposed to be in the way, that it was supposed to be Thunder was supposed to be, brandishing the chair for, I can't remember the
I
girl's
never
name
remember her
now.
name, but yeah.
No, you know I'm talking about
Yeah.
the new big monsters
I
heel
like
there.
her too. I like her too.
Yeah,
I, yeah.
that match outperformed my expectations. I
Yeah.
was like, oh man. And then it was a good, really good match. But yeah, I think that the thing was Penelope Ford wasn't supposed to be in a way, and it was supposed to be, oh, I'm gonna hit you with the chair, but if I do, then you're gonna beat me up because you're unstoppable. I think that was supposed to be it. But instead Penelope got in the way, and then she's like, well, now I can't even
Yeah,
do what I'm supposed to do.
at one point I saw like Penelope holding the chair, but Thunder Rosa still trying to act like she's gonna go hit the person. I was like, what is happening right now? Like
What is
this is,
going on? Yeah.
it was, yeah, that was a really bad thing to end off that match, because that match was a really good match, and then you had that awkwardness at the end. It was like, come on,
Yes.
come on.
It's live TV, folks. That's
That's
all you can say. Like,
That will
I don't
definitely
know
end up
whose
on
fault that is.
Botchamania.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Botchamania is gonna have a field day with that. Actually, I would actually listen to dirt sheets or listen to something or read something to find out what was supposed to go on there,
100%. Like I need to know what the actual plan was supposed to be, because what I saw was definitely not what it was supposed to be. And I'm a Thunder Rosa fan too. I felt so cringe watching it. I was like, this is bad.
She knew it too. Like you could see it on her face after a little bit. It was like, oh no, what should I do now? Yeah.
But you can't like say anything, so you still have to try to act. It was bad. But yeah, no,
Oh, very bad.
I was saying Grand Slam was definitely to me better card than not. I give the edge to Grand Slam, and I think the Cody KO match was the highlight match of Rumble. First of all, KO is insane taking an Alabama slam on the ladder. Like,
Oh yeah.
that
Yeah,
was.
especially the way the back of his head hit the ladder, and you know he could have cracked his head in the space in between the ladders onto the cement floor like that, and it would have been brutal.
It would have been bad. Like, he's taking some crazy bumps, but that to me was one of his most craziest bumps. And like in WWE, like obviously in the when he was doing independent, that was a whole nother thing, and ROH was a whole nother thing. But in WWE, I have that number one now. The number two was when he ran up that big when they had the Titantron and he ran off to do the Swanton bomb off of there. I was like, okay, those are the top two for me, because those are
What
some
was the one he
crazy.
did at the WrestleMania without an audience? He did something crazy there too. He went up high, and it was something insanely insane. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I just remember looking at him going, "There's nobody in the building, buddy. What are you doing that spot for?"
Yeah, he needs to take it down. But I do like the fact that of how much they're selling the package pile driver. Like, they're really protecting that move. And I'm appreciating that a lot at this point, because it seems like
No, that's a
when
great
you
thing,
watch
yeah.
AEW, they'll take three in the match and still finish the match. And it's like, this one here, you take one and they're out for a couple of weeks for sure.
It's funny because I was watching some old wrestling, like some late 80s wrestling and early 90s wrestling, and the style is so different, and I can't decide what I like more, because you would see now you see DDTs on the floor, like the guy can take like three in a match, and 2 minutes later he's back in the ring, he's doing all this. On the other hand, they're doing stuff that those guys could never dream of doing. They're doing offensive moves and athletic moves and different stuff, and the pace and the conditioning, all of it is so much better than it was. But on the other hand, the storytelling and the selling and all that, like I can't decide what's better, today's wrestling or the old wrestling. I think I can appreciate them both. It's okay for the sport to evolve and change. Unlike a Jim Cornette who's like, should know it's this is the right way and this is the wrong way. It's okay for it to change and evolve, and it has, and you just got to accept it if you enjoy it. But I cannot decide if I'd rather watch a Will Ospreay match or a Shawn Michaels match from 1994,
It is tough. It is tough. And I think that's why, like us as a pod, we're a fan of Gunther. Because Gunther is that old school style, but can morph it into fitting with this style. I don't think that a lot of, like, Shawn Michaels obviously was Bret Hart too, just like they were athletic and everything. But a Gunther, a Jacob Fatu is the perfect thing of a hybrid between the two, because he does those power moves, but he does do the flips and stuff, and he does them safely, which is the next thing which a lot of people his size aren't able to do. But I think that's why we gravitate towards certain people a lot more. Like Osprey, Ricochet, we can appreciate them for the high flying tricks and stuff like that. But then sometimes we'll be like, okay, the selling isn't where it should be. But then you look at like a Gunther or a Jacob Fatu, or I'll even give it to Tama. Tama is a really good seller too. but they kind of still have that old school feel to it. Tama is pretty much Haku that can do more flying moves, to tell you the truth. Like, it's that it's and he's getting that yeah over with the crowd too. I didn't think that was gonna catch on like that, but the crowd is doing it with him too.
They
And
are doing it with them. Yeah.
it's just great to see, because right now I love going back and watching the old school stuff. Let me watch an old school Macho Man match. I am locked in.
They
Give
put
me an
on
old.
YouTube, they put up Macho Man versus Bret Hart from Saturday Night's Main Event and called
Oh,
it the
I must
best Saturday
watch.
Night's Main Event match in history, leading into the relaunch of the Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yeah.
I watched it and I was like, damn.
Yeah, because it's like the ring psychology that they have is a whole nother level. And
Yeah.
it just seems so much smarter. That's why I think that's why one of the best matches, was it last year or the year before? That Gunther Chad Gable match on Raw was one of the best matches from either company that year. And it was, they were able to do the high flying stuff, but they still had the power stuff. They still slowed it down. They had the psychology. Like, Gable is underrated for the amount of stuff that he's able to do and still able to do at this point right now.
Gable's fantastic. I mean, we know he'll never be a world champion, but he has, like I say, he's became a guy who started off as just a great, amateur wrestler. He learned how to wrestle in the majors because of his, the professional style, because of his athleticism and his background, but became a top tier entertainer somewhere along the line. And yeah, I mean, I know he's never going to get a world title match or a world title run, but I still hope he gets something that acknowledges him
Oh,
before his career is
100%.
over.
I would love to see him with the IC or the US title. Just give that a, I think that I appreciate the Sammy win over Gunther. But if you gave that to Gable at that point, because Gable was hot at that point after putting on great matches after great matches, I think that he should have been the one to beat him at Mania. Because that would have been just like, thank you for all your hard work that you've done. Thank you for making it past Shorty G, which a lot of people couldn't get to deal with a name like that and still turn around and do what he's doing at this point right now. Like,
Shorty G.
he's done a lot and always been a good wrestler throughout all of it.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes you forget some of the stuff the guys have had to overcome, some of the bad creative,
Yeah.
What the hell was LA Knight's name there for a while? Something Dupree or
Max Dupri
Max Dupree, yeah.
and his sister
Yeah,
Maxine.
just
Yeah.
Maxine. That's right, Maxine and Max. Oh, man. Well,
Yeah.
you had some
Yeah.
praise for AEW, so let me hear it.
All right. So I think they have the person with the best gimmick of the of probably this of this year so far, and that is Harley Cameron. I think she has been outstanding, and even her match with Mercedes, you could tell Mercedes was the was leading the match, calling the match, but she did a really good job in that match. And at one point I was kind of like, maybe you should give her the title. Like, I know it's she's not gonna win, but I was like, for the character work that she was doing, for everything like that, like at one point I put my beliefs to the side and was just like, I would love to see her with the title. She is doing absolutely amazing. I
It's one
think
of those things where, oh, sorry.
no, go
It's just
ahead.
one of those things where it was the right time for her to win the belt, but it was the wrong time for Mercedes to lose it. So it becomes one of these complicated, what are you going to do?
I hope that they kind of give a little bit of a break to her, and then she comes back and she gets the belt at like Double or Nothing. I'm seeing that they just like announced Double or Nothing as a thing, right? Like you can have Mercedes hold the belt, and I appreciate what they're doing with Mercedes with the belt. I also think sometimes her with the four belts look a little weird, because like you're seeing good quality belts next to like not great quality belts. It's kind of like okay,
So true.
so, but yeah, no, I think Harley Cameron is doing amazing work. I think Ricochet as a heel is doing some great work there. I still not a fan of his promos, but he's gotten better as a heel. If I'm, yeah, I think Takeshita is always going to be a star. Like he just has it. Ospreay is so over. I loved that match. That opening match, the Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, Kyle Fletcher match, I was like, okay, this match may have been the best match between the two pay-per-views, between Rumble and Grand Slam.
I think it was. I think it
Yeah.
was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because I mean, again, the Grand Slam, everything was built towards it and it delivered. Revolution, now it's kind of a quick turnaround build, just a couple week build because you were building so much for Grand Slam while the focus was there for so long. And now you're just, but the card is stacked. Couple things that were excited me tonight. Number one, return of Jane as Orange Cassidy's music. I thought that was kind of
Okay,
funny.
yep.
I'm like,
Yeah.
make up your mind, guys. And
They don't know. They don't know what they want to
they don't know which one they
do.
want. And Gabe Kidd coming on Collision.
Collision.
I don't know. I don't think that means he's, I think that's just part of the partnership with New Japan. But Gabe Kidd, I mean, since that match with Omega, and then he had a killer match with Ishii, and he has another one set up for him that's a Iron Man match that's going to be, crazy great. This guy, I don't think he wants to leave New Japan, but man, you could just build a lot around him. He has so much potential. So it's really exciting for me to see him coming to Collision and see the little promo package and see kind of how he's treated and what they do with him.
I watched him when he was in WCPW and
Skinny kid back then.
skinny kid back then, and once and to see his development from there then till now has been, you could tell he's learned a lot, and he's been around a lot of people that taught him fundamental stuff that he did not know back then. And he is going to be a good addition. I wish that it was. I like the fact that they're trying to build Collision up, but I also thought that he should be coming back. He should be coming like at Dynamite, like your main
Yeah,
show.
I know.
That's the
Yeah.
only thing. But other than that, it's like, no, him going there will be a great fit if they can use him properly.
I hope it's more than just a one and done, and it does make Collision a must-watch show for me now, just to see him. In the same way that NXT is, I was turned in to see Ricky Saints. What do you think of Ricky Saints, by the way? We never. I mean, the name does not flow off the tongue. I understand he was originally from New Orleans. I think that's probably why he's Saints, that connection. But I mean, at least they kept Ricky. That's the part that's the chant.
I think he was the one that really helped with making that name. In his interview, he pretty much just said, like, I know people are like attached to the name Ricky Starks, but there was two reasons why he chose Saints. One was because of New Orleans, and I forget what he said the other one was. I can't remember off the top of my head here. But he was like, the crowd will get used to it. I'm gonna put in the work and you're not gonna remember it. Because A lot of people nowadays don't even remember Gunther was Walter before, right? Like
This is true.
they recognize him as Gunther at this point. So
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. I think everything just happened so quickly with them that, because that was a one day turnaround from the pretty much from the time he got released to the time he showed up to NXT. It was because last week they didn't even say his name because they didn't know what his name was going to be, because that's
Yeah.
how quickly things happened. So I'm not mad at the name. If he puts on some banger matches, you're going to forget the
Well,
rookie
he's got
starts
Wesley
anyways.
first. I mean, Wesley is just like the perfect guy to put him against
Oh,
for his first
100%.
match.
100%.
So good. So.
And I think, what was I going to say? They have it more rumored that Josh Alexander is going to AEW. No, they said AEW offered him more, so he might be going heading over there instead. I think that's a good fit for him. One, because he is going to get drowned if he goes to WWE at this point right now, because you know that Malakai Black is heading back to WWE. Good chance Miro heads back to WWE. And with the rumors that, like, backstage, they told Tony Khan, hey, you need to make it right with Fenix, which people are saying that that might mean he's going to let him out of his contract soon. Fenix going to WWE, like, that just, there's no room for Josh Alexander. I'm sorry, like, even in
So
NXT,
true.
NXT trick is still over. You just got Ricky Saints. As much as people don't look at things, you still have Ethan Page. Obafemi is still the man. Then you still have whatever partnership with TNA, so you don't know who's going to come over there. You just don't want to go somewhere where you know for sure you might not get the TV time that you deserved and you've earned, because he's held TNA on his back for a long time.
He's 37 years old. It's the perfect time for him to get national exposure. He's a solid in-ring worker. Is he going to be in the world title picture? No, I don't think so. Is he going to be in the TBS title picture and do really well there? Probably. And so we see every year at Revolution is one of the things they do is announce a signing. He should be the signing this year. But yeah, I mean, the idea of competing with everybody, like, I mean, they have to release. I mean, you brought it up, Rey Fénix, and that they told him, you got to make right with this. When he got in front of the crowd in Australia, they're there to see Dynamite. There's a big crowd, 10,000 people, good sized crowd for them, very hot crowd. And they booed the hell out of Tony. And that's all because of Ricky Starks, Rey Fénix, Wardlow, even. Miro, everybody that has it feels like they've been done dirty by this guy. I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a little naive.
Hundred percent.
I don't, I wouldn't boo him personally because I appreciate what he's done, but he has healed himself by accident. And he needs to, if he wants to turn babyface, he needs to do what's right with these guys.
And on top of that, Ricky in the interview also said, like, Tony would allow other high name superstars to just get into people's creatives. So then that all of a sudden there's nothing for him. And you're kind of seeing that on the, I will always say this, AEW for pay-per-views, you can't go wrong with them. They
No.
put on solid matches consistently. A lot of times the only problem that there is, and it's, I think this is where WWE really kind of like messed with AEW, because AEW and WWE both used to have 7-hour shows. And when Triple H came in, he condensed that stuff. It's like 3 hours, 3.5 hours, 4 at the max. And then you have an AEW show, which is like 7 to 8. And then it's like, all right, can you sit through it? Right. So it's
Yeah.
So I think that move alone kind of messed with a lot of the stuff, because people used to be used to like sitting down in front of their TV for like 8 hours, 7 hours to watch a pay-per-view, and on both sides. Now it's like, now if I have to think about, oh man, Revolution, how long is that gonna be? I'm like, all right, I gotta split this up into two. Like, I'm turning it into a 2 day pay-per-view myself. Like, and it and a rave. I understand why he didn't leave, why he didn't let Fenix go. But man, it does not help with the way how they've displayed Penta. And knowing that TK is doing what Vince was doing really healed him up at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's exactly it when you said he's doing what Vince did at one point. I mean, it's that you sold us a bill of goods that you were supposed to be different. You know, you sold us a bill of goods that it said that you weren't going to be like the others. The other people that have run companies in the past, you were going to be more honorable. And then does he have a point to not get rid of Rey Fenix? Of
100%.
course he does. Of
Yeah.
course he does. It doesn't matter. At some point, you just gotta suck it up and do what's right for the person instead of what's right for your company. You know, especially if you want to be the person that we all viewed you as potentially be. So, and I'll say a couple things. Number one, Penta has been like, crowd was really into him on Monday. They're into him the whole match. The match, him and Pete Dunne, probably they just don't seem to have the chemistry. But
No.
you know, for some reason, because they're both terrific workers, especially Pete Dunne. But I mean, the crowd was into him. I had said in the New Year's show that we did, when we said breakout star, I said Penta. Well, I said actually the Lucha Brothers. Or if they both get, you know, if Rey joins them, if it's just Penta, then it'll be Penta that will be the breakout star, because I knew he has tremendous potential and the WWE could take advantage of it. It's not that he's the best. I mean, say he's the second best worker behind Rey Mysterio, second best luchador of all time, it's a little ridiculous. I mean, even to say that Rey Mysterio is the best luchador of all time is arguable. You know, you can make an argument for and you can make an argument for others, you know. But you cannot say that, you know, Penta's number two. But what you can say is he's one of the most, if not the most, charismatic guy that I can think of, since he's more charismatic than Rey, for instance. Like, as a Penta, I mean, who was that? I'm trying to think of the guy. It's just escaping me. He was the chairman in a WCW.
La Parca.
Parka, that's it. He's probably the most charismatic since Parka. La Parka, yeah.
He is, when he debuted, and they, first of all, they do a wonderful time of knowing when to debut somebody. So debuting him in San Diego was perfect, because that's where his family is, that's where he's from. Like, the crowd was going to be super hot for him. But they allowed him to cut the promo. And I think that right there, where people were like, oh, he doesn't speak as bad of English. Like, given, like, when you let Shinsuke on the mic, Penta, you could understand. And he was able to go with English, which was not the greatest, but it was better than a lot of people that English is their second language. And then allow him to speak in his native tongue and then go back. Like, it just brought everybody into who he is. Like, if you did not know who he was beforehand, like people like us who watch both shows, we've watched AAA, we watch CMLL, we watch
Lucha
Van,
Underground.
yeah, Lucha Underground. We know who Penta is. We've seen Penta go in the ring with Io, with Kairi, like Chelsea Green. It doesn't matter. But for those that were real casuals, that was the best way to debut him, so that the crowd is hot. So you're kind of like, oh, I need to see more of this guy. And he got a really good response at the Rumble, too. coming out number two.
He
So
did. He did. And
they're doing what
we
they
should
have
have
to.
been able to pick him as like one of the guys to possibly be the Iron Man. None of us threw his name out there. We should have, because it
We should
was
have.
kind of obvious, actually, in hindsight.
And the best part about what they're doing with him is they're not saying that he's the next Rey Mysterio. That is
No,
because
no.
that is a kiss of death
Yeah,
once he
that's
said it.
Dragon Lee.
The next Rey Mysterio, every time they keep searching for the next Rey Mysterio, it turns out to be Rey Mysterio.
Absolutely.
So let's just let Penta be Penta. And I'm glad Penta said that too himself when he was like, I'm not here to be the next Rey Mysterio. I'm here to be Penta. Get that out the way right now so you're not pushing that, because we all know none of these luchadors that they bring over are going to be the next Rey Mysterio.
No. I mean,
The
Ray
closest
is.
would be Fenix, though, because Fenix is in the ring. Fenix is ridiculous.
He's in the ring, he's Rey 2.0. You know what I mean? He's Rey Mysterio 2.0. He's does everything Rey did, and then is the next generation. You know, like when video game console comes out and the next generation is just that much more advanced in what they're doing, right? It's like that idea. He's the next generation. He's 2.0. So yeah, did you have anything else or that you wanted to hit?
No, I just well, we got we'll be back before, but there's two major pay-per-views, three major pay-per-views coming up within the next month, just in case we don't record, and this is before Mania weekend hits. So we got Revolution, we got Elimination Chamber, and we also got Roadblock for NXT. So all three pay-per-views are coming up before Mania, and that is going to be it's going to be a busy time. We might have to come back after like Revolution to do it. Watch Elimination
I
Chamber.
think we'll definitely get something in before. We'll definitely get some stuff in. I think over the next little while, that'll be the goal. Maybe Josh can join us or not, or one of the other gentlemen. I mean, I know Josh is busy with his job, really busy right now. And so, you know, good luck to him with all that, though, because it's pretty exciting, some of the stuff he has going on. And yeah, but as far as there's also, what's the next TNA pay-per-view as well? Because that might become a much watch as well. If it's one thing to see Moose show up, but what about seeing some NXT or even WWE guys show up in TNA?
Who was it that said somebody literally just said that they wanted to go to TNA? It was a pretty, it was a main roster person that just said that they wanted to
No,
go
I missed that.
to
I don't know.
what? Oh, Sacrifice is coming up for TNA, and that's going to be on March 14th.
So there you go.
So pretty much every weekend for the
Yeah.
next after next weekend, every weekend there's a pay-per-view.
Well, you know, it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan.
100%. That road to WrestleMania, when they say it, is not a joke, because everybody's putting on shows, and then you get the WrestleMania weekend where everyone knows, yep, this is WWE time. All the indies know. All right, we're gonna do. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk to you about real quick before we go. WWE just launched the WWE ID belts, which can be defended at independent shows. So they're not going to be defended on their regular shows. It's going to be for them to for the indies.
Yeah, I had heard rumors that they were thinking of something like that. I didn't realize that they'd actually launched it yet. When
Yeah,
did they launch it?
they launched it yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, they had the
Wow, okay.
Triple H had the titles. There's one for men, one for women, and it's going to be, he said, it's where they can actually defend them on independent shows.
Well, I mean, that's, you know what? This is the one thing about Triple H, you got to say. He gets it, and that you got to give back to the industry. You got to give back to the indies. You got to give back to this, because as much as they recruit former, you know, football players and different sports and teaching their thing in the performance center, they are still depended on guys coming up through independence, and also a strong independent scene and a strong underground bubbling doesn't hurt the overall popularity of WWE in any way. If anything, it pushes it along. If you look at it historically, when WWE's been really, really doing kick-ass business, there's been something pushing them along underneath and a bubbling and cult followings for other things. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing. So Triple H understands that, and that's pretty damn cool.
I thought it was a really good thing that they're doing, as long as they don't do what they did when they did NXT UK, where it's kind of just taking all the best ones. If they're actually just getting to travel to different indies, so you're helping to boost the indies, but you're also giving people the opportunity to partner with you at the same time. Because I could see it going to like ring. What is Booker T's one again?
Can't remember.
Well,
Well,
ROW, I think it's Ring of Rest or something like that.
yeah, something like that.
Like if you could take it to Booker T zone, and then you can take it because they've been doing some stuff with GCW too, right? Being able to go to G, sending one person over to GCW, some things like that, then I would be like, okay, cool. As long as they're not trying to use it to just capitalize and drain the companies, because that's what happened in the UK scene, and
It was
that
different
really
though in the
hurt.
UK scene. There was another company show that was had gotten a television deal over there that they were worried about, and was they were worried about them taking the stronghold in that market, you know, and it never happened, but partially because WWE came in and bought all the best talent out from underneath them. But that was also a very Vince thing, you know, and it's not Vince anymore. That's Vince hated the idea of competition. I don't think that, you know, Paul Levesque hates the idea of competition. I think he sees it for what it is. Whereas they may not want somebody to be as big as them, but I think they can live even with a company as big as AEW. I don't think it bothers them.
I agree with that. I also think that he is such an old school guy that he looks at territories as he looks at that as territories. So this would be a way of kind of boosting it up. So I'm excited to see how it looks. I also need to watch that Legends show that they have, where it's like the new Tough Enough
Oh yeah, the
with
new
Tate.
legend, with the Taker, and where Michelle McCool is teaching people how to put on submission moves.
Yeah, all that stuff. I just want to watch it because you see them like working on their promos and stuff like that. I saw a clip where Taker got pissed off at one of the promos and stuff like that. So, kind of want to see that. But they have a lot of shows
Just
that are
Taker
happening.
being like a grumpy old badass, old school badass trainer
I
entertains
appreciate
me. Yeah.
it. I so appreciate it. And last thing, shout out to Michelle McCool for being named to the WWE Hall of Fame. I thought maybe one or two people were going to get in before her, but can't go.
Question to you. Does Undertaker and Doctor, or does Layla, or is it someone else?
I hope Layla does, because
Me too.
I think it might be Taker and Shawn that inducts Triple H this year. I think they might do a co one. Yeah, because I think especially because they both were the ones to tell him he's being inducted, I think that they both will induct him. I want to see Layla induct Michelle McCool. I feel like that would be the best. And if not Layla, then I would want to see Mickie James, just because
Mickey
to
James,
show
yeah.
that they buried the hatchet from that whole Piggy James situation
Piggy
and all that
James.
stuff. Yeah,
Yeah, I think
she.
that's long since being settled, so yeah, it would be good.
Those two would be the
Yeah.
two for me, but Layla I would be number one for me.
Yeah, me too. All right.
All
That
right.
was fun. Thanks, Senator.
For sure.
We'll see, we didn't need him. He just gotten in the way, just would the show would have gone another another 45 minutes to an hour. Josh just saying the same things we would have said anyways, but better. I'm hoping he listens back to this. He probably won't, but I'm hoping he does,
Oh,
because
he will.
oh, I hope so.
He definitely
But
will.
yeah, that was fun stuff.
All right, you want to get us out of here?
Yeah, this is the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. And it's what Fresh Take Network and We Talk Podcasts. And you got your plug your stuff.
Not So Soft podcast comes out every Monday. And then the rest of the stuff, we're hoping to get a new episode of Keeping Up with the Senator out next week, just because Love is Blind is back on. But for the first six episodes, you can go to osodope.co. My friend Cass, she did a review on it. Honestly, I'm so glad I didn't do a review on the first week because it was probably the most boring first six episodes I've ever seen from it. And I did not really want to talk about it. So the drama should really kick in this week. So you'll get an episode next week. And then, yeah, that's it for me.
All right, that's it for me too then. Happy wrestling, folks. Isn't that what Ian Rigabonny says?
Yeah, I'm pretty
Yeah,
sure.
there you go. I'll steal that.
There you go. All right, peace.
Peace.